Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.
God abide. He'll save your soul. Whatever betide, whatever betide, only trust Jesus, say it, only trust Jesus, he satisfied. Say that line again, he satisfies.
King Hezekiah's experience. Most of us know the story of Hezekiah, who was sick unto death. And to the prophet of God brought him those words, that those solemn prophetic words that dealt him a blow, saying to him, "You shall die and not live." Then said, "Set your house in order. This is a sure thing. You shall die and not live. Man, set your house in order." That man poured out of his soul, poured out of his spirit to God, till God was not only touched, but God was actually moved. I don't want to pray just to touch God. I need God to be moved by my prayer. Many of us settle for touch worship. We just want to worship God just enough to get a good feeling. But I don't want no worship that only limits me to just a good feeling. I want worship that's going to allow me to actually touch the face of God's glory and have God move on my behalf. You can worship in such a way that your worship literally moves God to doing some things in your life that has been so long prolonged, that God actually moves based on the worship, the intensity and the passion of your worship. Worship him until he is the only thing that's on your mind. Worship him until his name, his character, his attributes saturate your spirit
till you and God become one. Yes, in a sense that whatever you need, he just supplies. Hezekiah didn't just cry crocodile tears, but his tears were testimonies unto God for what his life had been about. He testified that, Lord, I've tried to spend my days and live my life unto you, so that my life is all about you, not about me. As a matter of fact, God, I give you the glory for putting me on the throne of Israel. I didn't get here on my own, had no credentials, but you raised me up. And I tried to serve you as a righteous king. The Bible says God reversed the prophecy. Said to Isaiah the prophet, you know the story. Go back and tell the king I've heard his prayers. I've seen his tears. And I'm going to give him 15 more years. We usually don't hear the rest of the story because what happens is very phenomenal and it's a warning to all of us. What happens after the king gets up, after the king recovers? He has some visitors who come from Babylon. And when the Babylonians visitors, they bring gifts of well wishes to the king. And the king allows himself to be flattered by the gifts that the adversary, if you will, the Babylonians bring to him. But they only stopped by there because they wanted to spot out a weak place. They came with gifts. They came with gifts and flattery because they were looking to try to find a way how to penetrate Israel. And so the king of Babylon sent ambassadors bearing gifts. And as they bore the gifts, they were seeking, if you will, to find a way in to militarily overthrow Israel. And Hezekiah, with all of his flattery being flattered, he's being so overwhelmed by the gifts and the gadgets wherever they brought him. The Bible says he took them on a tour of his house to the end that there was not a room in his house that they did not venture in and get to experience. One room he took them in was a no-no room. He took them into the room where all of his weaponry was housed. Showed them all of his artillery, if you will. Showed them all of his weapons of warfare. That is just what they wanted to see. They wanted to see where everything was. You've got to be careful how you entertain people. Now, you can't be too quick. You can't be too quick to be wanting gifts. You've got to learn how to say no to some money. You got to say no to some gifts. You got to say no to some get well cards. You got to say no to some sympathy cards. You got to say no to some flowers. You got to say no to some candy. You got to say no to some fur coats. You got to say no because it's leading into something. People just don't give you something for nothing. They've got something up their sleeve. I don't care how innocent it looks. I don't care how innocent it sounds. People, human nature just doesn't do extraordinary things for ordinary reasons. You better pray with me tonight as I bring this thing to a close. Hezekiah allowed himself to get lost in the flattery to the end that he forgot, if you will, how he got back on his feet. Not one time did Hezekiah say to the Babylonians that the only reason I'm alive today is because the Lord in his mercy heard my prayer. He heard my prayer and he pitied my every groan, and the Lord raised me up. When you read that story in the book of Isaiah, you'll discover the king not not once does the king ever give God any glory for his healing. There is a danger in forgetting from which your blessings come from. The prophet Isaiah makes his return back to, yes, he makes his return back to Hezekiah's palace, and he gains audience with the king, and he has a conversation with the king. He inquires to the king, who were those men that just left this palace? Who are they? And I want to know, what have they seen in your house? I want to know, what do they want, and what did they see in your house? The king, in his braggadocious manner, said to the prophet, they've seen everything in my house. They've seen all that I possess. They've seen my weaponry room. They've seen every square footage of my house. And the prophet said to the king, don't you understand? Don't you understand? Did you not discern that these men did not come here to wish you well, to bring you congratulatory remarks, but these men came to spy out your palace, your fortress, your house, because they were looking for a weak place in which they might penetrate. The enemy is always looking for a weak place in your life. You're not praying with me this evening. The adversary knows your weakness. He's always looking for a place where he can get in. Thus the writers of the New Testament declares, give no place to the devil, because if you allow him to come in, he will pillage and destroy everything that God has began to do in your life. And so the king gets word from the prophet's lips. I want you to understand, king, everything they saw in your house, everything you have exposed to them, everything you bragged about will be taken from your house and taken to Babylon. Not only will they take all your possessions to Babylon, but they're going to take citizens into captivity, and they shall pillage your kingdom, for the Lord has ordained it. Why didn't you tell those men that it was God who raised you up? Why didn't you tell those men that it was God who turned your declining health around? Why didn't you then spend some time testifying about what the Lord had done, instead of walking around like you healed yourself, instead of acting like you delivered yourself, instead of giving credit to medicine and doctors? Why didn't you tell them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when the doctors wrote you off, and when you were on your way out of here, it was God who heard your prayer and seen your tears, and it was God who sent the prophet back to you and told you he's going to give you 15 more years? Well, since you failed to tell them what God has done, I need to tell you what God is going to do. He's going to strip you of everything you have, and you'll have to deal with God. Well, the psalmist picks it up in Psalm 66 as he begins to rehearse and repeat or recite what happened in the life of King Hezekiah and Israel. He says, you have caused men and horses to ride over our heads. You have taken us through much. You have tried us in the fire. You brought us down to a place of defeat. In other words, you chastised us. You punished us, all because we failed to give witness. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, your witness means so much to God. You ought not ever hold your peace when God is doing precious things in your life. You ought not ever
never sit on your blessings as if they're yours, but God blessed you to tell somebody else. I hear the Hebrew writer saying, God has blessed you to provoke you to praise him. God only blesses you based on what he's going to get out of you. And if he can't get a praise out of you for giving you a little, you're sure not going to get much more. I wish I had a praying house. You see, the more you praise him, the more he blesses. Because that's the only reason God blesses us, is he wants a praise. You don't hear me. Guess all God wants. He wants a praise. And all you got to do is open that big hole in your face and lift up your hands towards heaven and tell God, thank you. Make known his deeds. That's what the Bible says. Make known his deeds among the people. David said, I will stand in the great congregation and I will tell of his goodness. In other words, I'm not scared of the crowd. I'll tell the crowd what God has done. Give him praise. Hallelujah. God, in his anger, brought Israel down with this king into captivity. But thanks be unto God, he does not hold his anger long. The Bible says that God brought them through fire, brought them through the water, through every fiery trial. Hear me, child of God. I don't know where you are right now, but I know this much. Where you are is not where you're going to be. I don't care what you're going through. He whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Sometimes God got to punish you in order to prosper you. Sometimes God has to straighten you out in order to give you success. Sometimes they got to bring you low so you can appreciate the high places. Give God praise. I heard the book of Habakkuk said, he has made my feet like hinds feet, and he's made me to walk among my high places. Come on, shout glory. I'm on my way to a higher place. You can stay where you are if you want, but I'm going through the test. I'm going through the trial. I'm going through the fire. I'm going through the flood, because I got a sneaky suspicion God is merely purging me and preparing me to prosper me. Come on, give him glory. For Paul said, these light afflictions. Come on, somebody say light afflictions. These light afflictions cannot be compared. These light afflictions cannot be compared with what God's doing in my life. Cry if you have to, weep if you must, but know this, if God's in the midst of your stuff, if what you're going through is a God thing, is headed somewhere, give him glory. Hallelujah. He moves us from not enough to just enough to more than enough. I'm on my way to more than enough. I've already met not enough. I met just enough, and I'm now waiting to make my transition to more than enough. Come on, because I don't believe, out of all I've been through, that God allowed me to go through it for nothing. I just believe God was testing me, testing my faithfulness, testing my tenacity, testing my perseverance. And now I believe I'm in a season where God is saying, Gilead, I'm bringing you to your place of more than enough. Come on, shout glory. I want to tell somebody tonight who's in the land of not enough, who's in a place of just enough, you better try to catch up with somebody who's on their way to more than enough. Sometimes you can just get blessed by hanging out with somebody that's already blessed. Come on, somebody shout glory. Probably most of us, if we broke and we hang out with broke folk, come on, shout, give them glory. But if you really want, you really want to get a taste of what God is doing, find somebody who's living a blessed life and see how God is blessing them, and then come out your mouth with this: if he did it for you, he can do it for me. Don't go talking about why you, how come you. You say, if he's doing it for you, he can do it for me. Is there a surely in this house anywhere? Is there a surely in this house? Is there a surely in this house? I got the close, but I want to tell you, God took them through. And whenever he takes you through, it's always preparatory. He's getting you ready for something bigger and better. I know I'm right, because right there in that 12th verse, he says, you cause men to ride over our head, men and horses to ride over our heads. And then you tried us. In other words, you tested us. You proved us. You sought us out to see just how much we can handle. And you tested us for endurance. You tested us for patience. But then when we looked up, you were still leading us. So much so you led us. You brought us. Hallelujah. I like that. You brought us. I like to think God carried you. Because sometimes we get faint-hearted. And God has to pick us up and carry us to our destiny. Hallelujah. After all you're going through and been through, you may not have enough strength to cross the line into your place of fulfillment. But the text suggests, just when you think you don't have the strength to go another step further, he will bring you into a wealthy place. Somebody shout wealthy place. Shout wealthy place. Come on, shout wealthy place. He'll carry you into your wealthy place like a groom carrying a bride over the threshold into her new life. God carries you over the threshold into a brand new experience. You got air in that room, air you never breathed before. You got fragrance in that room that you never smelled before. There are scenes in that room that you never seen before, because in the wealthy place, everything is fine. Everything is pristine. In a wealthy place, you don't want for nothing. In a wealthy place, you ain't crying about nothing. In the wealthy place, you're shouting for joy. In the wealthy place, the joy of the Lord is your strength. In a wealthy place, you don't apologize for being blessed. You just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. But you can't get there complaining. You can't get there fussing. You got to get there praising him. Get on your feet. I'm done. You ought to start commanding yourself to, oh my God, praise your way into your wealthy place. You read the same Bible I read, and he brought us to a what kind of place? Wealthy place. You start letting people tell you that's too much for you to handle. You start letting people tell you that ain't for you. After all the hell you've been through, something ought to be for me. And he brought me into a wealthy place. Hallelujah. And he made my feet like hinds feet. See, that's foreign language to some of y'all. Let me help you with that. Hinds feet. Feet like antelopes and deer. I can leap over. I can leap over valleys. I can leap over the devil's traps. Come on. There's some stuff God will prepare you to jump over. You're a child of God. You ought not be stuck in every test. You ought not be stuck in every temptation. There's some stuff you ought to just leap over. And it caused me to stand on my high place and look back at the adversary and say, you thought you had me, but I got away, huh?
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences. A church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.